Blog Talk Radio. far across the sea. Let us all swear allegiance to a land that's still
McCormick. Some people call me Captain James McCormick, but you can call me James. You can call me anything you really want to call me. But I'm going to tell you tonight we're going to talk about corruption and courage, folks. The two C words that are out there. A lot of people talking about corruption right now. Corruption, corruption, corruption. We see what's going on. They have indicted our former president, Donald J. Trump. Obviously, regardless of how you feel, that's kind of a scary thing, and you need to really think about that. You know, some of you folks that are out there laughing, giggling, hee-hawing it up. If you've noticed how these things work, they go after the group this time, and then the next time they go after the group again. It's just this constant I got you moments going on out here, and it's just getting really ridiculous. There's no doubt about that. There's a couple things, though, that I want to really talk about. So the first thing I want to do is I want to tell you about a new word. It's not a new word. It's a very old word. It's called Spizzorinctum, Spizzorinctum, that's S-P-I-Z-Z-E-R-I-N-C-T-U-M, and that means determination, ardor, zeal. It's the chutzpah, the guts, the nerve, or the backbone. And folks, we need to get some Spizzorinctum, I'm telling you. Not sphincter. So I know some people like to hear that, make fun of it. Spizzorinctum, Spizzorinctum. That's the word. Determination, ardor, zeal, guts, nerve. And most certainly, we have got to get some people with backbone in this country again. Let's just give you a little bit of a rundown on the news today. And I like to start with these wonderful stories about the woke movement in America. A woke University of Pittsburgh professor has denied that there is a difference in male and female skeletons. A woke University of Pittsburgh anthropology professor. I went to school for a long time, folks. Now, Father Pacella went to school a lot longer than us. And we learned a lot long time ago. And we've all been to school, every one of us. Katie, Rob, that's on here. You know, Rich. We all went to school. And I'm telling you, we took a basic course in anthropology, and we do understand that there really is a difference. But this professor denied there's a difference in male and female bone structure during the discussion about gender, sparking disbelief and outrage. Imagine that. If you were to dig up a human, this is what he says, if you were to dig up a human, two humans, 100 years from now, both man and a woman, could you tell the difference strictly off their bones? So, the professor says, no. Now, this is Professor Gabby Yearwood. And I'm telling you, I don't make this stuff up. This stuff is for real. Now, this is a college professor. I'm disappointed. I mean, I love the town of Pittsburgh, folks. I tell you, Rocky Blyer and I are tight. But he would be laughing at this, too. And I'm going to call him tomorrow and say, Rocky, what in the world is going on with this Pittsburgh professor that told people? Anyways, that's where it's going. So, and this response, it sparked appalled laughter from students, okay? But then Yearwood says, I'm the expert in the room. I'm the college professor. I've got the sheepskin on the wall. Me, look at me. There is no difference. There is no difference in the bone structure between a man and a woman. There is no difference. No. He says, have any of you been to anthropological sites? Have any of you studied biological anthropology? I'm just saying, I got over 150 years of data. I'm just curious as to why I'm being laughed at, he said. I have a PhD, he said. But his woke and unscientific claim drew heated skepticism all across the country. See, this is how far removed the left is from reality, folks. I'm telling you that they must deny the basic scientific facts between a man and a woman. Why? That's the dumbest, most ignoramus thing I've ever heard in my life. And let me tell you something, folks. There were some people in that room who had some Spizzorinctum in there because they stood up to that professor and they told him he was wrong. Probably fail. They'll probably lose. Maybe even go lose their college money. Maybe even go to jail in this day and age. They might just arrest you if you say, and if you think this is not serious, I got a few other stories I'm going to tell you before we get into the meat of this story. I'm sorry, folks. Anyways, so you know, anthropologists or archaeologists, and Rich can probably tell you this as well. that they rely heavily on pelvis shape to determine the sex of a skeleton, along with the general assumption that larger traits are male, including skulls and sizable areas where muscles attach to bone. You know, have there been mistakes made? Yes, but there is a difference. And, you know, here's the deal. This is just dumb. I'm not even going to give it any more oxygen right now. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'm not giving that any more oxygen. So let's go to the next thing, okay? It's just dumb. It really is. Anyways, okay. So now we have the professor in the room that says, "I'm right, you're wrong. Don't you laugh at me. I'm telling you, there's no difference between bones." Okay, got it. Skeletons. When we all die, you know, in 100 years from now, when they dig our skeletons up, they're not going to be able to tell which one's the man's skeleton and which one's the woman's skeleton. Okay, I got it. I get it. But we know it's wrong. So a teenage player was disqualified from a Pokemon trading card game tournament in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, I want you to listen to this crime. Horrific. Terrible crime. He had an exchange with a judge regarding his preferred pronouns. Now, McConaughey Tron, who took time off school and spent $800 to participate in the tournament, was brought to tears when the head judge told him he was disqualified from the event due to allegedly... You know, we do those little finger things on the side. Allegedly. Oh, man, I'm glad I'm glad these people were lucky that I stopped cussing and drinking a long time ago. All right, well, anyways, allegedly disqualified from the event because allegedly he violated their inclusion policy by making someone feel unsafe and uncomfortable. Let me tell you what happened. He says, "On our way over to the stream area, the judge asked us for our preferred pronouns. I said, he or him or, and I paused, trying to think of a third pronoun, the third pronoun being his. As I just stood there looking stupid trying to think of the third pronoun, I felt embarrassed because I was failing to think of a simple word due to the nerves of me being embarrassed about being asked, 'Are you going to be called by a boy or a girl?' Clearly, I am a boy." Normal nerves. My response together ended up being, he or him or his. That's it. Because of that laugh, the judge felt that he was making fun of the pronouns, and someone felt offended. It appeared that the judge became so uncomfortable after Tran had an awkward laugh, not because he was nervous, not because he was a teenage kid. "No, you must be laughing at me." You know, that's the other thing, too, isn't it? There must be that's a level of paranoia. This is a mental illness going on in this country, folks. There is a he and there is a her. That is it. And who cares? That's why we all have a name. You want to be called? Fine. It's ridiculous. But he says, "He had an awkward laugh upon being asked his pronouns. Okay, I just wanted to check to be safe. I go by they, them, so don't be a jerk about it," the judge apparently responded. Oh, he was mad, you see. He says, "I go by they, them. But you said he or his. And you're being a jerk because you laughed." Trans was escorted off the game stage by the head judge, to whom he explained that his nerves had caused him to laugh. According to the team, he was 5-0 at the tournament and was given a 6-round matchup against a well-known player, Alex Szymanski. I remember saying, wait, what? I was so confused. I had just explained very calmly what had happened, and he seemed that he was listening, Tran wrote, adding that he was brought to tears after his request to appeal was denied. Because you laughed and you made me feel uncomfortable, a man, a whatever, a he, a she, a shim. Is there any such thing as a shim? Because I don't think that there is a shim. You are a he or a she. But whatever this judge was, now this is an adult. They should put his name on there. And, you know, back about 45 years ago, 50 years ago, somebody would have just walked up and grabbed him by the shirt collar and bam, slapped him right across his mouth, man. Because it's like you're being stupid, man. You're being really stupid. This kid was winning. He was 5-0. You just didn't want him to win. Because he wasn't a pronoun kind of guy. If you want me to call you a dog, rover, whatever, whatever, you know, look, here's the deal. There's got to come a point where we have some sanity in this country. The insanity is just out of control. I can't even do it anymore, folks. I'm telling you. It's just, I cannot make this stuff up. And as I watch the news and I listen to stuff, it's like I'm not even really shocked anymore. So I've got everybody on the, look, hey, guys, I got another story I'm going to tell real quick, and then we're going to go into it. Because it's like I'm either going, I might bust out and laugh. Let me ask y'all something. So we got Rich on here, we got Father Mike on here, we got Katie on here, we got Rob on here. What's your pronouns? Did I hear somebody laughing on here?
You heard a female laughing.
How can he be kicked off? His name was Tran. I don't get it.
I can't even believe it. I mean, look, this kid, I would love to find out where this kid lives. And, you know, he spent $500. You know what? We need to send that boy his money back. I'm just telling you. I could find that kid, I would send him a check for $500. I'm just telling you. That's just dumb. So I got one more story. Yeah. But we're going to tear right into this nonsense. So we know what's happened with the president, right? So we know what happened with President Trump. There's a lot of stuff going on. And the good thing is that, you know, Governor DeSantis has said, Florida's not going to help you in your extradition, New York. You're not going to use any of our police force. You know, you're on your own. But, of course, you know, the FBI, they'll send them down there, I'm sure. They already have once. But Trump is not the first president who has faced an arrest. So here it is. Former President Donald Trump was indicted Thursday on charges related to hush money, blah, 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 whatever. While the nature of Trump's indictment is unprecedented, he's actually the second to face arrest. The first was none other than President Ulysses S. Grant just after the Civil War. Now, William West, a former enslaved person, joined the Metropolitan Police in the nation's capital after fighting in the Civil War. In 1872, West was on the lookout for speeding, horse-drawn carriages near Washington's 13th and M Street. I know where that's at. When he jumped in front of a carriage racing towards him, West quickly realized he had pulled over President Grant, and he issued him a warning. But the very next day, West caught the president speeding again and brought him in. And he says, I am very sorry, Mr. President, to have to do it. For you are the chief of the nation, and I'm nothing but a policeman. But duty is duty, sir, and I will have to place you under arrest, West said in 1872. And that made West the first and only law enforcement officer to arrest a sitting president. That is your history lesson. Now, Grant was released on a $20 bond, which equates to around $500 in today's money. He didn't contest the fine or arrest and expressed respect for West's decision to arrest him. Can you imagine that? The Memorial Fund reported that former MPD chief said Grant had been issued 3 citations for speeding in his carriage during his time as president. And most likely he had some bourbon on his breath, too. But you know what? It's the way that it was.
What are you going to give that horse?
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, my goodness. My goodness. Okay, so, you know, a lot of things going on. And while we're laughing, and, we, you know, there is some funny stuff. Look, this trans pronoun thing is, it is off the chain now. And there's so much violence. You know, I just also read a report, and I just didn't, you know, I mean, I hate to even talk about it, but I got to tell you, some five-year-old kid was on a public school bus in Michigan. And some older boys said, hey, come set with me. And when they got him back there, they just beat the living tar out of him. And they beat him up, you know, and the bus driver didn't do anything. And they beat him up, you know, because of his race. And, you know, his race was not, he was white, okay? And that's why they beat him up. And he was 5 years old.
What color was the bus driver?
Same race.
What color was the bus driver?
And the same race, and he didn't do anything. And the parents were livid, but the 11-year-old boy that actually kicked him in the stomach was actually arrested, you know, for what he did. And he said that he was so sad because everybody was more interested in shooting, you know, taking a video of him getting beat up than trying to help him. And that's the way that the world is today. 5 years old, you know, it's like, look, man, this is outrageous. Racism isn't just about blacks on whites or whites on blacks or Asians or whatever. Look, it's any time that you attack someone based on their difference of their skin color, you know, or, you know, even their religion and stuff. If you take physical violence out on somebody, especially somebody smaller, it's unbelievable. And then again, you see case after case of so much violence and hatred against people. And it's bled down into the children. So now the children feel that, you know, because they've heard their parents or whatever, they watch the TV and that, you know, and they keep hearing this, the CRT mentality being preached, that we have somehow been abused and oppressed, and there's a white, you know, there's a white person, there's an Asian, they're just as bad with Asian people as well, and it's like, come on, we got to stop doing this. We got to be smarter than this, America. It's like, I don't know what's happened. I spent 22 years in the Army, and I served with people of all races, all nationalities, and you know, never had a problem with anybody based on any of that. If the only problem I ever had with them was based on whether or not they were willing to work or whether or not they were courageous. If they were courageous and willing to work, we got along well. If they had problems with either one of those, then, you know, I most likely didn't associate with them very long. So it's terrible. There's just so much stuff going on. But the transgender movement has just absolutely rocked the nation and has really opened up a cancerous, and I'm going to just tell you this, a cancerous level of sin. Just, I have never seen this country so, what did you say, Father Michael? Depraved, right? I've got
absolutely,
you on the line.
That's correct. Yes, depravity. We have to really understand the capability, if we're going to talk anthropologically, as far as the sin nature, the depths of what we're really capable of. Now, we saw that in Nazi Germany, but sometimes we have this Pollyanna understanding of human nature, and without Christ, the expectation will always fail us.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'm just going to go down the line, and we'll start with you, Father Mike. Let's talk a little bit about, and look, we're all Americans on here, and this show is really designed about us being able to have a civil conversation. And I'll start with you, Father Michael. Trump being indicted. First opinion on that. Thoughts on that.
Unjust. Uh-huh. It's just ridiculous, and it's so obvious as regards the agenda. And, you know, listening to great legal minds, it's so obvious that it's a weaponization and a politicism of the law. And it's amazing what he's gone through. But by the grace of God, you would think that a person would snap. But no, it's unjust, unfair, scary just to see what we're becoming as a country, a totalitarian. And I don't know how people could not be alarmed when you see that it's happening and there's such a disparity between the people. The person they talked about getting a 10-year prison, violation and to be put into prison for 10 years because of Hillary and a mockery of her followers. And no, it's crazy. And finally, the Viking man or whatever was released after the truth was shown about him walking through, with the police escorts. And so, my first impression is we're off the rails. There's no fear of God, and it's all about revenge. I think Rich mentioned that earlier, revenge politics, and it's sinful. And I fear for our country.
Mm-hmm. And Katie, what's your thought? Katie and Rob, since you're both sitting there together, what's your all's thoughts on this?
Well, he warned us. He said that he called it. Trump called it. He said this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a bit surprised.
Disappointed.
Yeah, disappointing. And like it was said earlier, it is completely unjust. I mean, the same bar isn't being used for everything. I mean, when you let killers that are arrested and put in jail, let them go the next day so they can loot and commit crimes and they go after someone like that for that, it's ridiculous. I mean, and they talk about all the money that is being spent. Look at how much money we spend all of this investigation. Our Congress is spending more time and wasting more tax dollars doing investigations, and they can't even do a budget. They cannot get the budget done on time. They can't balance a budget.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And that's a disaster. To me, as I hear what y'all are saying, and then I want to get Rich's thought on this. Rich, what's your thoughts on it?
On what? You covered a couple things.
On the Trump indictment.
Okay. All right. Fair is fair. All right. So if you're going to go after Trump, you got to put everybody else in jail. Okay. You got to go after Nancy Pelosi and her husband for insider trading. Martha Stewart went to jail for that. You've got to go after, Hunter Biden. Okay. He's going to that's a clear charge right there where you lie on a gun application that you're not a drug addict and yet out of the Navy because you're a drug addict. Okay. I mean, I don't know why the FBI is taking so long on that case. And Hillary Clinton on the mishandling of classified emails. Okay. The fact is, that would put any of us in jail that handled classified information. And it was clear. I mean, what she had done is a crime, and why they let her go is because they said there was no intent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was intent because her husband signed a bill, the FOIA is
Freedom of Information Act.
Freedom of Information Act. You know, because you got to understand, the Clintons didn't trust, you know, they're of the 60s, you know, generation that didn't trust the government. And mm-hmm. so they signed into law a bill that required the government, if you ask specifically for certain information, it has to be released. So she deliberately wanted a private, do all her transactions over a private server so she could avoid FOIA requests. So mm-hmm. nothing she did would be held accountable. But the problem was, you're the Secretary of State. You're dealing with highly classified information. So I'm saying, like, while everybody else is, you know, saying, hey, this is all wrong about what they're doing to Trump, I'm like, nah, if you're going to do that to Trump, you got to be fair and you got to do it to everybody else, okay? So bring charges against Hunter Biden. Bring charges against Nancy Pelosi and her husband, and bring charges against Hillary, okay? And that's a start. And then if you start putting these people in jail, I think the trickle effect will work. All of a sudden, people start realizing, hey, you can't be corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget about that guy that had classified documents besides Corvette in his garage.
Yeah. Well, actually, hold it. The thing is, they can probably beat that because it's like, you know, because I've looked into Trump's case and how those classified. He may not even known they were there. Okay, it's probably not a case of deliberate mishandling of it. I mean, in the case of Hillary, no, it's deliberate. She did not want to do business over a government server, because she wanted to avoid the bill, the Freedom of Information Act, that her husband signed. So mm-hmm. she's on a private server, which is, it's going to be mishandling classified information. Whereas, you know, these guys are moving out, they're in a rush because of material, and they don't know what's in them. And so the packers pack it up and load it, and it gets stuck in different places like that. I don't think they knew it was there. So there's a case where you have to find the intent. You have to really go into that. But, you know, what Hunter Biden did in the with the plan for a handgun, that's a crime. He needs to be charged for it. And then we don't even know about all these kickbacks and stuff that the Biden family has taken. Okay, we'll find that out, but we do know that Hunter Biden has committed the crime. So fair is fair. Okay, put them all in jail.
We do know that Hunter Biden did some things. And, you know, I don't know if you've all seen the videos that were released of Hunter Biden that, you know, got released from his his laptop, but I watched some of those videos and they were very disturbing. And they weren't just grainy shots. These were very clear videos of a very high Hunter Biden, with very young girls. And I don't know how they were, cause no one was asking for an ID card, but, I would be concerned. I'm very concerned with the lack of morality. So next question on this. So as we hear some of the responses, you know, Nancy Pelosi is someone that I find to be extremely vile. I think that her husband and that whole thing with that guy, you know, I don't know what happened. I have no idea. I've heard different stories. You know, we've seen the video. Obviously, the guy hit him with the hammer. It was bad. You know, we don't want to see nobody get killed. But then again, you know, he's got a history, you know, of problems. But if you know, it's most of this stuff is wrapped around what? Sexual immorality. You know, there's a level of immorality. These people get to this positions and they think that they are above the law. So Nancy Pelosi today, she made a statement it was yesterday. She made the statement that everyone will be given a chance to go to court and prove their innocence.
You know, that's not the way that the legal system works in America. You are innocent until proven guilty. What's your thoughts on that? Let's start with you, Katie and Rob.
Yeah, I absolutely agree on that. That is how our law is written. You are innocent until proven guilty. It's that cut and dry. I just don't know how to go into any more detail than that.
So if you think about that, let's just say this really, and I think Father Michael said this about the totalitarianism of this. So this sets a very, very bad stage. So those little words, you get a chance to go to court and prove your innocence. Well, guess what? The Gestapo said that almost word for word. You can go to court and prove your innocence, but we're going to jail you until you prove your innocence. You know, I don't agree with anybody destroying property. The January 6th thing, arresting some of these people and keeping them in prison, in jail for as long as they've kept them, you know, whatever happened to habeas corpus? I mean, seriously, whatever happened to speedy trial or a trial by a jury of your peers? I don't understand what's going on with the legal system, but what Nancy Pelosi has put into motion, she should be impeached for that comment, because she has set into motion the kind of thuggery that you see going on with New York right now, where you've got an attorney general who is abusing his power, who is obviously hates President Trump, and it's clear he's made that very clear. If it was the roles were reversed, if Donald Trump was black and he was white, we could call racism, but I'm going to go ahead and say there's probably a little bit of racism against Donald Trump going on in that. You know, people don't like it when I say that, but here's the truth, folks. You don't have to be white to be a racist. There are plenty of black racists out there. You just go out there and look around. You'll see them. They're around everywhere, and they're usually teaching some kind of a CRT thing. It's like the trans folks. You know, it's like the pronoun folks. They get upset. They get offended so easily. So what they have done, and Father Michael has said it several times, and I'm going to pop that over to him next, but we have become weak, and we have allowed this to continue on because they are so loud. It's like, you know, the shooting in Nashville, the murder of these children. You know, what's the first thing that you see the left screaming about? Take the guns. Why don't the left say, let's really protect our children and let's secure the schools? They never say secure the schools. And they not once, and they have dodged it to the 10th degree to even mention that was a trans, mentally deficient, defective person that had a mental issue, okay, on top of being a child murderer, but went into this thing, and people knew that she was a fruitcake and a nut going into this thing. You know, it blows my mind totally that the answer to this is throw people in jail. This is what I'm hearing from the left. If you disagree with me, we're going to throw you in jail, and then you can come before our judges, our jury, and then you can try to prove yourself innocent, but we're going to keep you in jail till you do it. We're going to take all your guns so that we can really hammer down on you, because right now there's a lot of you that's got guns, and we're kind of afraid to come after you right now. But if you lose all those guns, then we'll really come after you. And, oh, really, we don't really care about the kids and protecting them, because if we did, then we would really be talking about let's harden the schools. I was in the Army.
That's exactly right.
You know, and it's like,
did you hear what Joy Reid said about the school shooting?
No, huh?
Joy Reid from MSNBC said, She was talking about that, and she's like, who are the real victims? It's not the three faculty members that died. It's not the three little kids that died. The real victims in that shooting is the trans community. She said that on national television.
Yeah, well, she's dumb. That's
dumb.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just want to mention something wider. You know, we talked about this a little bit when they were pulling down statues and seeing the sin in everyone else. And we talked about, you know, he who is without sin, let him, you know, cast the first stone. But this whole judging, see, it's a boomerang effect. It's called the law of reciprocity. Mm-hmm. Whatever you sow, you reap. That's why Jesus taught us, don't judge lest you be judged. Doesn't mean don't have good judgments if you're in a position where you have to make judgments. But what I'm really concerned about in our country, it's a downward spiral. You know, it's going to keep, you know, judging, and it's going to backfire. And we all have to be careful. We want to come with solutions. But I see that, you know, they have this great glee, you know, because they think someone's getting theirs, you know. But there's a God in heaven, and there'll be a judgment day, and everyone will give an account for what they've done in the flesh, whether good or bad, you know, even the unnecessary words we use and things of that nature. And I just fear for the country because we're just sowing judgment. We're just sowing judgment. You know, it's like, you know, justice for all but mercy for me. You know, but when it comes to their own lives, you know, then they want, you know, some mercy and some kindness. And the harshness is terrible, but it will come back. It's like a boomerang. It'll come back. And, you know, you usually reap more than you sow. I remember, you know, as a city boy, even though my grandfather was a farmer in Italy, boy, you put some seeds in and so much more comes back. It happened to be tomato plants. And I really fear, you know, everybody's just judging everybody and you're this and you're that and you're a Nazi and you're a racist. And I'm telling you, that law, it's like the law of gravity. You don't want to believe in it? You know, go step off a building, see if it works. It's the same thing. It's intangible. It's invisible, but it's real.
So Nancy Pelosi's statement about you get a chance to go to court to prove your innocence. I hear that as that is the left's rally cry, the extremists, the Marxists, and let's just call it like it is. They're no longer just simple, you know, Southern Democrats anymore. I don't think that any exist anymore. I really don't. I think that this is an absolute Marxist movement, but that comment alone strikes a fear in me because of the historical significance of saying, let's arrest people and then they can prove themselves innocent. We don't have to, you're already guilty. That's why we arrested you. So if someone gets arrested, it's like, you're guilty. That's why if you go on social media right now, if I want to say, Rich Kilblaine wears, purple, makeup at night, you know what I mean? And never have seen it, but I can make that up and put it on social media, and automatically we're being geared by this kind of stuff to believe
James,
it instead
James,
of
James,
investigating it.
You should have never brought that up. Okay?
The purple thing?
Yeah, it's actually a greenish color, okay? It's not purple. I'm not into purple, okay?
Purple's my favorite color. What are you talking about?
Now I've been ratted out.
Rich.
Oh, no, no. The real question is, James,
offended.
Do you know what color makeup I wear when I go to bed at night?
Exactly. That's the point that I'm making. It's the point.
No,
that's
no,
the
no.
point that I'm
they're,
making.
Yeah, no. I've spent some time at your house.
Uh-oh.
He has. Look, Rich,
there
Andrew,
we go. There we go. We've just opened a can of worms here.
Rich and his son has been here. We've been hunting together. We've been great friends for – this is what people don't understand. Rich and I have been friends for longer than I've been married to my wife. I'm just going to tell you that. So Rich and I have been friends for 20 years almost right now. So You know, and Heather and I have been together for, you know, almost 19 years. So there you go. It's let's see, what year is it? 2023. I'm getting as bad as Joe Biden right now. But
but you would not have this problem if you just would have done like Rob and I and gotten married in the year 2000. See, so every year we know exactly what our anniversary is. And tomorrow, and I'm not kidding, on April Fool's Day, tomorrow is our 23rd anniversary. See? How
Yay!
Easy that is.
Oh, you know what? We will be some of the first ones to wish you happy anniversary, because I'm going to make this show go to 12:01 so we can tell you happy anniversary.
Yeah.
You don't forget.
So,
thank you.
So the love that I have for this team that's here right now, you know, we've had, you know, Rich and I, we play the devil's advocate against each other, and we keep things lively. In the last, I don't know, the last 6 months, I mean, there's been very, you know, little disagreement, because we are so passionately about securing and loving this nation. And I really think that the comment from Nancy Pelosi today demonstrates our worst fear of the potentiality of political elites being able to just willy-nilly arrest whoever they want. Now, I want to ask your historical perspective of this, Rich, because, and a very serious answer on this, because it's got me worried. The Trump thing, it's got me worried. All that stuff's got me concerned. But her coming out and publicly saying that and never recanting it, even when people said, no, 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 you're wrong, that is saying something to me. What do you think?
All right. So the election's coming down. Do you want to vote for Stalin or do you want to vote for Hitler? Everybody, you know, when Trump was the president, you know, the left was really trying to make a lot of comparisons between Hitler or Trump and Hitler, okay, to show the guy's a dictator and stuff. He admires dictators. And I'm like, you got it all wrong, okay? He, for one, he's for Second Amendment, so he's not after the guns. All right, Hitler couldn't have risen to power or gain as much control as that. But the Trump we know today fits the Hitler mold, okay? I mean, when he's talking about calling out his MAGA supporters for protesting and stuff, that to me is like the brown shirts, all right? When you look at some of these great dictators, you know, they evolved into that. Yeah. Mm. Trump's evolving into a Hitler. This guy, when he becomes, you know, if he gets elected, becomes a president, we can expect a lot of revenge on the left. Okay. Mm. So, yes. Now you can start making comparisons with Trump and Hitler. But on the left side, it's Stalinism, okay? We're talking about communism. You don't have – look, everything – look, I would tell you, Biden wants to be – look, the guy's old, senile, but he wants – the one agenda that he wants to be remembered for is making this country green.
Yeah.
But it's going to destroy the country. He's already destroyed the economy once, and there's if you watch the stock market, there's just no economy anymore. But without going into a lot of detail about whether it works or not, the point is he's going to force you to do this, and we talk about the wokeism and all that. So socialism, he's given in to them. All right, but the point is, there is no compromise anymore. There is no governance. It's revenge. I'm the one that coined the term revenge politics, and that is it's my way or nothing else. So when you elect a Republican president, well, they're forcing their agenda on. Or if it's a Republican House, they're going to force their agenda. Okay, no one's talking across the aisle anymore. So Yeah, so, you know, it's your choice between Stalin and Hitler, okay? Since, you know, most of us are conservatives on the show, we're going to be glad to vote for Hitler because he's going to go against our enemies. But when the left gets elected, you know, Stalin gets elected, okay, this is the sad future of the United States. We're not going to see governance anymore. We're going to see revenge politics. We're already seeing it. It's revenge politics. You know, the New York City DA has gone after indicted Trump, but look at what the Republican Party in the House is doing. They're, you know, but most of us are going to agree. Yeah, you need to investigate the Biden family. You need to investigate Hunter Biden. You need to investigate this cause of COVID, okay? The FBI needs to be investigated, okay? Why is any part of the government that has possibly been weaponized needs to be investigated? But, you know, as soon as the Democrats get the House, they're going to turn it around and they're going to get revenge. So there you go. So it's your choice between Stalin and Hitler.
You know, it's an interesting play on that, but definitely, you know, worthy of noting. But there are some people that are angry. You know, I mean, everybody is getting angry. I just wonder how close are we to that tipping point, Rich? How close are we to the tipping point to where an arrest of Donald Trump or an arrest of
Hunter
Biden.
Wait, when you say tipping point, I thought we crossed the tipping point.
Well, I mean, the tipping point of actually a shooting war, a real shooting war.
We've already seen it. But look, what, the summer of love? No one was shooting at each other?
Well, yeah, but I'm talking. Yeah, but I'm talking about
the burning of street. Yeah. People have been shooting each other. Why do you think we have all these school shootings? Because we have all these guns? No, there's evil. There's this evil in America. And so what I did a little research on the common characteristics of the school shooters, okay? And I'm not talking about I'm talking about the mass school shooters, not the ones I saw one study that said when you compare rural schools where most of all these large number killings take place versus the urban poor, those are revenge shooting. These are targeted shooting. These are gang shootings. It's up pistols. They happen more often than the mass shootings, okay? But the mass shooters, most of them come from broken homes. No figure there. The kids have been bullied from the time they were young. They feel isolated. They don't have any hope. And what we're seeing is a whole lot of patterns like, just like we see with, society. Okay. Mm-hmm. No one's listening to the other side. You won't listen. We're so polarized. No one wants to, hey, this show right now is an echo chamber. There's not one person in this show who disagrees with the other person on this. I play the devil's advocate just for the hell of it, but I'm not tonight, okay? So it's like all five of us are in total agreement. So we don't have a true dissenting opinion on this show. We are in an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. And that's how most people live.
Well, but you know what? It's not because we don't. You know, I mean, I don't think we fully agree on everything. I mean, you know, the comparison of Hitler and Stalin, I get where you're putting that at. But I think that some people, even on this call-in, would probably disagree that, you know, they probably don't agree that, that they would compare Trump to Hitler. But, you know, obviously Trump is known.
The left has already made several comparisons when he was the president.
They did.
I'm just reversing it and saying, the only difference between Stalin and Biden is he's not executing a lot of people. He's not condemning a lot of people to the gulags or to starvation. But he's coming close. He's coming real close. You know, there's a socialist agenda, there's a leftist agenda, and he's forcing it on this country. And he doesn't want to compromise. Neither party wants to compromise. That's the real problem we have. So there is no – don't expect governance anymore.
Yeah. It is sad. And you know what I hear in your voice? And I have never heard this in your voice before. But I hear despair in your words.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Katie?
Well, okay. All right. Now,
I can hear it too. And with all, you have every right to feel that way. However, I'm just so thankful that in Romans, there's a scripture that I was always raised on that has helped me get through my entire life of all kinds of different things, being bullied too and this and that. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. I believe that with all my heart. And if we try to, I mean, it gives me comfort, but if we try to seek vengeance on some of this stuff, then I think we're kind of taking it away from the Lord. I think that we need just to let him seek his vengeance, because it is going to happen. He is going to have vengeance. Can I just say something real quick though about the school shooting thing? Because this is what shocks me, and I don't understand what in the world, why these parents or anyone else isn't standing up and saying, why are we not having teachers, staff members trained to conceal carry? Why are we not doing that? Because that shooter, just like all the other shooters, would have been taken care of and taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And there only would have probably been one death, and that mm-hmm. would have been the shooter, not the death of all these children and the teachers. I don't understand. I honestly think that even not only should there be faculty members there that are trained that are concealed carrying, but I think there also needs to be some sort of sign out in front of the school saying we have trained and armed staff members, because I feel like some of these kids who are going in shooting up other kids that are mentally ill, I think that they would be smart enough to be mm-hmm. able to read a sign like that and think, well, I don't know which staff member it is, but I feel like if I'm going to go in there and try to shoot up a school, who knows how many people would take me down. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that they would be smart enough to worry about that. So what, and then on top of all that, to be honest, I think that personally we need to have some of these veterans who would probably absolutely love to volunteer their services mm-hmm. to walk around these schools, show up every day from the time before it opens and even after school is out, just to walk around that school every day to protect our children and our staff members. I don't understand why none of that is happening. That has blown my mind.
Well,
blown
it,
my
is
mind. It is
happening in some schools.
Go ahead.
Okay, but
can I speak to it?
I got in a debate,
James,
since I'm
in the classroom.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in the classroom, and I've got some pretty intimidating students, and I have to breathe fire from the beginning. I'm not kidding. To have control. I'm talking in college. It's not like it used to be even. Now, I've also taught in police academy, they all have guns, and not necessarily myself. No, I think there are a lot of other things about making the target harder. We're not fighting back. We're passive. You know, during 9/11, we had a cop in our church and later became a chief of police, and they were box cutters, but we were kind of brainwashed and told, don't resist, give your wallet, you know, just do what you got to do. And I think that if they realize that, I had a student that tried to call me out a couple years ago. I told Rich about it, and I dismissed the class, and he and a couple others surrounded my podium. I looked him right in the eye and said, don't you ever call me out again. And he was a senior. He had done quite well in all his classes except this class, so he took it over. The last day of class, he was walking out with me. He said, I really like a professor who's not a pushover, who knows how to handle the classroom. We have to have some discipline, and the respect is not there for God, for anyone. The fear is not there for anything. You know, I sent you the article about they want to have basic training where there's no yelling. Yeah, that'll really prepare you. But yeah. You know, I think that, you know, if there were hard targets and people that are qualified, I'm NRA qualified, different. I've shot with the police department. I've shot when I was in the military as well, and even as a chaplain. And I just think that we know that they're soft targets. And, mm-hmm. you know, we can't wait for the government to do everything. It's not going to come through law. You know, and so I know sometimes in my classes, and I'm telling you, I got, you know, big football players, big guys and stuff. I breathe fire from the beginning. I let them know I'm not taking any crap. And I mean that. And I wear my clerics, so they know I'm a priest. But I say, don't, you know, interpret this as weakness. And, you know, you have to, if you have no control, no education takes place.
Yeah, I'd say, Father Michael, you know, I got in a fight with one of my former college students today.
Yeah, one of my students. I saw you.
Yeah. Good kid. He got it. Did you watch the video of that sparring match?
No, I watched
a
lot of it.
Don't worry.
But
anyway, there's a point in there. He got an overhand. Hit me on the left cheek, and you can see it staggered my head. He feels real bad when he hits me hard. Well, he doesn't hit that hard. If I can take a punch, you know, you apologize. But if you watch, you know, he's apologizing for it. Like, I hope I didn't hurt your hand. I said, I'm more worried about you hurting your hand. we're laughing about that. But he joked about it. He said, well, for one, he's never fought a fighter who's as seasoned as I am. I'm like, I've been fighting my whole life. And he goes, he says, the stuff that works on everybody else his age does not work on me. And when he hits me, he doesn't want to connect with you. You just smile at me. I said, and what does it do to you? He goes, it just kind of gives you this feeling like this fight, you're not going to win this fight. And,
so
anyway, Andy's a lot of fun. And then after the sparring match, I worked with him because he wanted to know how to fight. He had lost. He didn't get the championship. He had lost fights to people that are taller than him, like me. And so I coached him and showed him some stuff. I'm probably going to regret that in the future because it looks like he's going to be here all year.
Shows you that there are. I've got some monster guys, football players. And I had him as a student, obviously, because I'm the chaplain for the ROTC. He's not going to give me any crap. But he's a strong guy. And, you know, so I tell you, saying is that, you know, we have to take grassroots responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we call it, and I've talked about it, we got to be more concerned about dealing with things grassroots, you know.
Wait. Okay, that's a good phrase. Explain how you do that.
Subsidiarity, okay. So you can think globally, well, we should do this in the country and give all the money that is going to Ukraine and blah, blah, blah. But we need to see each situation is different. Urban schools where they already have, you know, we had a six-year-old shoot his teacher, you know, right in the city that I teach in. And we need to see how we could do it, not just wait till it's done across the board, how it's best done in
our
own.
What are you saying we got to do? No, give us a solution. Because I have
the target.
Because after I went through and I read what the common characteristics of mass school shooters are, I can see some solutions. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. For
what are they?
They've been bullied. They feel isolated.
Right.
They have no hope. You know, I'm like, hey, the solution to bullying is we need to get more people involved in the martial arts.
Yeah. Teach them how to fight.
And the thing is, it's like they will not teach boxing. They will not teach boxing or martial arts in the schools because they're afraid it's going to make the kids want to fight. Do you want to know how many martial artists, trained martial artists, get in street fights? They're backed into it. They don't.
Yeah,
every martial artist I've ever known, we don't get in fights. The thing is, it's like you train for that fight, and it never happens. Several things happen. One, you get it out of your system. Okay. I was reading it. It said, so many of these school shooters have been bullied from a young age, and then there comes a point in time where they reverse the roles and they become the bully. Okay. And the gun gives them power. But the thing is, it's like, you know, we're trying to tell people, hey, you know, bullying is bad and stuff like that. There was an SNL sketch with Ronda Rousey, which was hilarious. Okay. She's like top female mixed martial art UFC fighter champion. And it's a skit where she gets bullied and she turns around and beats up the bully. Okay. And the caption at the end is, you know, so many, you know, they talk about the number of percentage of bullies that get beat up. You know, we need to do something to protect the bullies. All right. But the point is, get, you know, if you're being bullied, get into the martial arts. But the thing is, not everybody can afford it. You know, I saw on YouTube an organization that is trying to raise money so that anytime they see where a kid gets bullied, like you're talking about the kid in the back of the bus getting beat up like that. Okay, so what the hell are you going to do to prevent that? I'm going to put that kid in martial arts training. Next time someone tries to bully, there's going to be some bloodshed. Okay?
I think that martial arts is wonderful. And yes, I do. We put our son in martial arts. Especially when, you know, he started going through puberty and it helps, you know, when they have those bursts of testosterone, they got to release that energy. They got to get it out. And so it really helped Andrew a lot. However, if you are sitting on a bus and you are a kid in the back of that bus and a gunman comes up on that bus, no amount of martial arts or any of that is going to protect you from a bullet. A bullet can get to that child just like this happened. That bullet got to these children a lot quicker. Something I think is so stupid is they're already trying to fork out all this money trying to create this this little pop-up wall system that's bulletproof, so that if there's ever an active shooter case, then all the teachers can get the kids into that bulletproof little room. But however, when you're terrified or shocked and it comes in and something like this happens so quickly, you may not even have time to pop that little wall together and get all of your kids in there safely. So I just don't, I do not understand why there are not enough trained staff members
in these school systems because they could have alleviated this problem before that kid could have even entered that school. And yes,
But Father Michael had an answer for that. Okay. I got in a debate with my uncle over this, and my uncle was a high school football coach. And when this whole question or suggestion was brought up about arming teachers, and he was adamant against it. Keep in mind, he's a retired teacher. He knows the teachers. So he's sitting there thinking about all these teachers he's worked with, and like not one of them would you want to have armed with a gun to defend kids. Now, I subbed for 3 semesters back in Oklahoma when I was, freelancing to try to, waiting for a government job. And I've subbed in this school, in Doreen Pichella's Christian school. And I'll tell you this, they're combat veterans in that school. There was another Green Beret. He was an art teacher. And so when I, in the debate with my uncle, and it was on Facebook, and I sat there and said, arm the veterans. There are almost every school, if they don't have a veteran, there's something wrong.
Right.
But there's a lot of veterans who want to go into the law enforcement and they want to go into teaching. My first sergeant, the company I command, became a math teacher. Okay. These are the guys who are trained to do this. So I agree. But, but I do understand the debate against it. There's not every teacher you want to train them to give them a gun. But I said take the ones that
are
trained.
Well, I understand. I am not saying that just any Joe Blow needs to carry a gun. I used to assist with helping women with the well-armed woman learn how to shoot and defend themselves. And a lot of the things that I have seen with other women are, you got some women who are just terrified, who have been in abusive situations, and they feel like they need to carry a gun and shoot and learn how to be trained and all that good stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah, I would still be afraid to hand you a gun. But then there are also those who feel called to serve and protect. And I would hand them a gun in a heartbeat because I know that their intentions would be to protect our children. So I just feel like that they're, yes, veterans for sure, those who can pass a, I don't know what you would call it, but I'm going to call it, for lack of better words, a mental clarity test, those that are mentally stable and able. That would be wonderful. But otherwise, there are male and female both teachers and staff members that I could guarantee you would step up to the plate, especially now, right after all this has happened, and say, yep, either yes, I want to be trained, let me conceal carry, I will do whatever I can until the police get there. And I think that's a no-brainer.
Can I just interject, because I've been on boards to hire police officers. There are some people who are too willing. Mm-hmm. I like what you said about the mental clarity. I remember we were interviewing this one person, and I'm telling you, all the red flags went up, and there were some pretty I think the whole psychological, some people would be too eager. Just like I see people that are guards, and I've seen them go into the police force, but they're almost like Boy Scouts. They're trying to do something, and they don't have patience or the mindset. You need to have the brawn, but you need to have the brains. And it's interesting.
Right.
I was looking at the way they qualify. Rich, you'll find this interesting. The Special Forces Master Sergeant was showing me what certain MOSs in the Army, what you have to be strong in. And for the military police, because I'm looking at my former subdeacon who was a sergeant major of military police and a cop, his picture here. And it's not all the who are the most physical. There's a lot of other mental apparatus. And so I think that, you know, we have to do it, but do it carefully, because some people are too eager and they shouldn't be able to just because they want to. Just like when we had this interview with this would-be hire in the police department I was working for, and we all said, no, this is dangerous. This person should not be hired. So a lot of discernment has to go. We can't react. We have to be proactive. And you said, you know, now that all this has happened, we've been talking about a lot of things. That's why I talked about subsidiarity. We can think globally, but we have to act locally. It might be different in West Virginia than it is in Williamsburg, Virginia. And we got to understand that, the culture and the footprint and everything like that as well. But we can't be apathetic and just, you know, stand back. We've talked many times on the show about our right to self-defense. Mm-hmm. We just can't sit back, children, be prey. But on the other hand, we can't be vigilantes. So we need an adult in the room and someone
sure.
that
yes.
is highly trained that can perceive this person may be too willing. Anyone can, you know, gain the actual ability. You know, I've been on the rifle range with the cops and in the Army and so on and so forth. But that doesn't mean that you have the psychological wherewithal. And that would be my biggest
right.
concern.
Right.
So,
we one thing that I would highly recommend anyone, you know, if they were to train in a situation like that, is to do like what you're saying. Put yourself in situations like I know for one of the classes that we had instructed, we had some men to dress up in all this gear and pretend like they were coming after us, and how quick, you know, would we need to be able to draw our guns, and what we need to do, and how we need to defend ourselves in that area, and what it sort of would feel like if someone was coming in with a gun trying to attack everybody. That put things into a whole nother level. And so I wish that they had some sort of classes like that specifically for staff members to be able to take in active shooter cases. It's just, goodness, it would just mm-hmm. save so many lives, many lives.
What I find appalling is that I don't hear a serious congressional debate about anything other than gun control. Or
right.
you know, and they have to fight against gun control. There needs to be a debate on hardening the schools. So I say this:
yep.
we harden other facilities very well. You know, as Rich and we have all talked about the veteran community, we know how to secure an area. Most of us do, anyways. And the presence of someone, you know, patrolling, like you said, the outside grounds even, you know, or standing by the doors. You know, the problem is,
yep.
is every one of these folks are, you know, if the door's left open, they just walk in or they shoot their way in. And, you know,
yep.
sometimes just having, you know, a presence that is, that would probably prevent a lot of it. The other thing is that, you know, there's plenty of cameras. And I'm just going to say this about the Nashville Police Department. They reacted extremely quickly, and I watched the body cam footage. That Marine that took that, you know, mentally ill transgender person out.
Yeah. I think
that he killed her with maybe one or the first or the second shot. So he was very,
yeah.
very quick. 14 minutes is what it took them to respond. Now, obviously, the Uvalde, Texas issue was a whole lot different. There were a lot more kids that were killed because there was a lack of action. I think that the fact that you had somebody that had been on a trigger before, that had most likely had, you know, maybe he had been to combat. I would have to guess that that would have been the case.
He was Air Force. No, he was Air Force.
Was
okay.
he Air? I thought he was a Marine because that's what
he was.
Say.
I think Uvalde, he was Air Force.
No. I'm talking about the one in Nashville.
Oh,
the
okay.
one in Nashville.
Sorry.
He was.
I thought you made a comparison with Uvalde.
Uvalde was, you know, what I'm talking about is the response time right. and the reaction. And, you
got
know,
it,
there were
it,
parents that were trying to get in there. You know, at that point, you know, the police beat them down and pepper sprayed them and everything else while their kids were getting murdered in there. And you know, that to me shows that we have a serious problem. So if we really want to solve the school shooting issue, it's not take away the guns. That's the absolute, the least effective thing that you're going to do because criminals
right.
are always going to have them. If you don't believe me,
right.
in Chicago, you're not allowed to carry a gun out in the open, but there's people that shot every day up there. So,
yeah. Oh, and
those
here's
hard,
the cop up there. That
harden
that
the
shooter.
School. Harden
the shooter
school.
In the. No, you're right. The shooter in Tennessee had two schools that he was looking at, and he picked this one because it was the weakest
she.
Target.
She.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Picked
it
know,
because
I
it was
talking
the weakest
to,
target.
I was talking to a chief of police some time ago, and something that you said, James and Kate, too, is if you don't see the presence of the police or any kind of resistance, you know, that's problematic. And he had
yeah.
he told me, he said, yeah, someone else told me that, too, because it's very important that patrolling is taking place, community
mm-hmm.
policing, you know, on the beat, that kind of thing. And, you know, because there's been such a vehement outburst, you know, I have a cousin who's a cop in Chicago, and I know some things from the inside there, and it's not pretty. He's had several friends commit suicide, one when he got done with the patrol, right in the patrol car, just took his life. Mm-hmm. Three kids, you know, it's desperate. So, you know, we ask so much from the people. It's got to be a community thing. Well-trained, like you're saying, veterans or people that have really been trained, but it can't all be on the police. We're not trying to make it the Wild West. But,
right.
You know, I know from even on the campuses that I work on. And
wait,
I work
wait,
with
wait,
the
wait.
Police,
the Wild West.
We know,
come
wait,
on.
Let me finish
we
that. Let me finish the
here.
Thought. They said before we get there, people are all dead
yeah.
here
yep.
on the local
okay.
campus. Before
all right.
we get to the
something.
Classroom, like Virginia Tech,
yeah.
they're all dead.
Yeah.
So something has to be done proactively. So when the police
That's
get
right.
there, they just don't sort out. I've had the police tell me that I've worked with. They said the time we get there, everybody's dead, just about. I was talking about a
and
college
you saw,
campus.
And you all saw how – you saw on the footage, though, too, how long it took them to go up the stairs and everything and
My
find –
My son said it. They could have been
quicker. They had to hear the shots firing and everything. They couldn't find where this girl was. Well, there were teachers that had – they were around cameras and everything. Staff members are like, you know, being able to say she's in this building or she's here. Well – had they been armed, it all would have been, before the police even got there, it all would have been taken care of.
Because
well,
that's the truth.
Yeah, I mean,
because
there's
when, by the time they get there, and I mean, they were able to do it, but not before six people are dead.
Yeah, and you know, people say, well, I can't believe you're saying that because you're a Christian. You know, well, You would really, you know, want to take down somebody and kill a kid, especially if they have mental problems. That kid had the intent to kill. And
mm-hmm.
those that he killed were innocent. They were, from what I saw on the news, they were good people, loving people, kind people. They didn't have any evil or bad or wrong motives. So sadly, although I hate that this girl was killed that way, she that was still her choice, and she made the wrong choice. And had it been between her dying or the six others, you have no choice. You have to pick. Well, it should have been her.
She would die. She said she was going to die and be notarized and have notarized.
See?
She told her friend.
She knew
the outcome.
Yep.
Now let's just
she
say
knew what
that.
She was doing.
So I want to tell you all this as well. So there has been a movement in the trans community. It's called the Trans Rise Up Time, and that kicked it off. So if you look at some of these state capitals, the trans folks have made these shirts with pictures of assault weapons, whatever you want to call them, rifles, AK-47s, that says trans rights or else. Now, those shirts were printed before the Nashville shooting, and I can show you. You can go on Twitter. You can see several pictures of them. You know, I say that that some of her actions were probably related to, you know, getting all fired up with this movement. You know, we're gonna make a name for ourselves, and well, she surely did. Now, here's why I say it's a woman, because that's exactly what she was. But she wanted to be called a man, so I am not going to respect her even in death by calling her a man. I'm not going to do it. So it
That's
was
right.
a woman, born a woman, and she died a woman. And she died very quickly when the right person, when the good person with the gun showed up and took her out that quick. I only wish that they could have got there 14 minutes earlier. So.
Yeah. You know, and you just now brought up a point that I guess my mind hasn't had time to think of until just now. You know, she... even in her death, she died a more humane death than the other ones that were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just said, you know, the trained shooter was able to take her out within the first shot or two.
Yep.
Very quickly. Oh, it just kills me to think. I cannot imagine how long it took for those sweet little children and the faculty members to die, because I can guarantee you she didn't know this girl, this crazy murderer did not know how to shoot correctly or anything. It just, but you know, there's just to defend myself as a Christian, I just want to say, to all those that are, you know, maybe listening, thinking, I just still can't believe, because you're a mother, you're a Christian, you know, you shouldn't be talking about murder or shooting or any of this kind of stuff. But it is a commandment by God. God in Luke chapter 22, verse 38-36, it even says, he said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. So he even commands us, a sword is a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
He commands us to use,
and
to protect
even when
ourselves.
The soldiers went before John the Baptist, he didn't say get out of the army. Okay, that's why the church came up with the just war tradition. Okay, mm-hmm. Because we're in a fallen world. It's naive to think that there will be no war. It's naive to think that you wouldn't have to defend yourself. Okay, there might be those who are called to be martyrs for the gospel's sake. That's a different category. But it is naive to think that, you know, don't lock your doors. Don't protect the border. Don't do anything like that, because everybody has well wishes toward us. That's naive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All
that's
right.
Exactly right. You know how you had mentioned – about the, you know how you had mentioned about the, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Katie. Go ahead.
You're on. Pichella, you know how you had mentioned that about the Wild Wild West. I swear, mm-hmm. I feel like that is we are there. It's like a modern Wild Wild West that we are living in. And so we are at the place where we are going to have to defend ourselves and those that we are around, our loved ones, those we care about, defend others who cannot defend themselves. We are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think that as we watch this society decline, it's even more important for us to protect the most precious people that are here, and that's our children. And the only way to protect them is to harden the schools. Harden the schools. I'm telling you, they're the politicians, even on the right, I need to hear them say that. I'm not even hearing them saying it, and they need to be saying that. Now, obviously, we just saw it. I can't remember who this congressman is. And again, it's we see this, you know, they think the louder that they yell, the more that it makes them right. And it just really just makes them look even more ignorant. But if you notice, mm-hmm. when you run into that community, you either run into, this sadistic leftist mentality, they're violent and they're loud and they cuss and, and they cannot go anywhere without being that way. I mean, we just had, two men that were married to each other in this community. And they, they ended up losing their home and blamed it on everybody else. But the fact that you got to pay your bills or you lose your home, you got to pay your bills. But according to them, it was because, somehow they were gay and everybody's got this escape route to just be sinful and hateful and going out of town. They're flipping everybody off with the middle finger and they're cussing and they're screaming. And this is America now. And the real problem is that we're not grabbing a hold of them and throttling these people like we used to do it. I'm not talking about killing somebody, but I'm talking about back in the day, you would get your teeth jarred for talking like that in front of a lady or in front of a child. And I think that because we have become weaker and weaker as a society. And just like Father Pacella was saying in the beginning, talking about the attacks on 9/11, when those passengers, at first they didn't rise up, they just kind of give them your wallet. And I was listening to you, Father Michael, when you said that. I think that we've been lulled into that as well, that don't say anything, don't fight back. You will go to jail. You will lose your house. They will sue you, and now they can walk up and just slap you across your face and now walk into your schools and kill your kids. And I'm telling you, we have got to start manning up and womaning up in America and saying enough is enough. So,
Did you see that restaurant situation in Texas where that guy came in with a fake gun and he was robbing everybody and the guy killed him? The cops said, we want to talk to you, not because you're any trouble, we just want to know what happened. But I mean, people have just become so lawless and rebellious, first to God and to the governor, and they feel like they can do anything. And if you offer no resistance, it's not going to be a safe place. It will be the Wild West, if it's not already.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about the passage from Luke, if you don't have a sword, go sell your cloak and buy one. How many swords do you have? We have two. That should be enough because, Christ was saying, look, we need it for self-defense. You need to be able to defend yourself because there are times when you literally have to fight your way in and out of places. And I think that the smartest thing I've heard said in a long time is whenever folks are talking about training some of these teachers to be armed. I'm just telling you, we're missing the boat if we don't do it. We're going to see more of this if we do not do that. And I wanted to bring this up real quick. I know it's getting close, but so there was and I just read it. As I go through this, I look at other things as well. But there have been, the trans communities having this. Active violence or whatever it is. I can't remember. They have a name for it. I'll pull it up here in just a second. But But what they're saying is that because, I guess, everybody's talking about this school shooter being trans, that they have a day of outrage. That's what they call it, the days of outrage. But then I did some research, and the last five public shootings, not school shootings, but the last five public shootings have been committed by people either in the non-binary or trans community. That's fact. Colorado, golly, Nance. I wish anyways, I lost it, and I just had it up.
I saw it, too.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, yes, I saw it.
And so that tells me that there is a, you know, there's a link here, folks. There really is. But the ultimate thing is that how do we prevent it? Taking away the guns of the good citizens of America is not the way to prevent it. You take away the guns of the citizens of America, and we will have more of that. It'll be even worse than what we imagined, my opinion.
Okay. All right. There's one thing I've been wanting to address that I haven't had the opportunity. We've talked about arming teachers and stuff like that. But in the study of the characteristics of mass shooters is the isolation and the lack of hope and all that stuff. Right. And what I was hoping we'd get an opportunity is to show how the church, to discuss how the church can fill that void. Okay? How the church can, you know, the many of them come from broken homes. How the church gives them the sense, you know, they talk about isolation, which gives them that. Okay. So when we talk about the trans community, I haven't heard anything that is inviting anyone from the trans community to join the church.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Rich, there's a hostility because of values. Now, I have had trans students, and I can't tell you, they're androgynous if they were guys or girls. I shared love. I shared, you know, not a meal, but sitting down together while I was eating. I think that we can be accept, but you can't accept what God doesn't accept. We're not more righteous than God. So I don't think there needs to be hatred. No, everybody needs acceptance. Everybody needs security. Everybody needs love and adventure. Sociologists tell us that. But my encounters, and my students would not say, oh, you treat me differently, because I don't, because they have a soul. But even if a guy was beating his wife or a guy was committing adultery and doing all different things, I'm not going to say, you know, you're okay, I'm okay, because they're not. I'm going to have to eventually give an account to God. And so I think that, no, we can't. And my students know, you know, I love them. And I don't even know what they are sometimes. I'm being honest with you. You know, they come with the name changes, but they know they have access to me. I had one student, I think I told you, they said to me, well, I know you won't judge me, but if I bring up this to the class, they'll judge me. And so, yeah, we have to have that kind of acceptance to sinners, but God won't keep them that way. And we don't have to be the Holy Spirit. Okay, I've had someone visit the church and, you know, say, well, it was a guy, you know, my husband and I have been this and that, participated in the Bible study, but there would be limits, just like there are standards in the military, you know, as far as the Eucharist and Holy Communion and things of that nature. We cannot be in a state of sin and think we're going to be blessed by God. So you're absolutely right. We have to have a place, but some of the churches, even in England, everybody's accepted. We're accepting everybody. There's no standard. That's not pleasing to the Lord. That's not love. And I think we have to look at the way really things are. In the same way with our own children, doesn't mean we don't love them. And we've talked about this. You know, we love the sinner, not the sin, because we're all sinners. But you don't validate a certain lifestyle. I had an encounter with one student, like I mentioned not too long ago, and they had been stabbed, and they were looking more like the gender I thought they were. So I don't know what went on there, but definitely we have to be there, but not to validate. We still have to share the gospel. We can't fall into the delusion of people and think that's love because we accept something that we know is not true.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're down to the last 10 minutes. Let's go with some final comments. Let's start with you, Katie and Rob. It's 9 minutes and 56 seconds before your 23rd anniversary. What do you think about that, huh?
Woo-hoo.
Thought we forgot, didn't you?
Well, going back to, you know, your first question that you asked me about Nancy Pelosi, you know, I've had a little bit of time to think about it. And, you know, about specifically about her comment, and I think what society is doing and all these different groups like Black Lives Matter, the trans LGBTQ communities, they are breaking down all the different groups of wholesome groups of people here in the United States, and they are replacing our justice system with social justice.
Right.
And I think that's where she's coming around by saying, you know, that you have to go to court to prove your innocence. You know, they're just trying with all these different groups, they're alienating. They're basically saying that, you know, you can be anything that you want to be, or that you are just as individual as the person beside you, and up to the point to where you have your own truth. And what happens when you get in that situation, you may be individual, you're trying to be somebody, but what ends up happening is you become a nobody. And mm-hmm. I think that's what our, you know, what our leaders are trying to accomplish, is they're breaking down, you know, these hard institutions of man and woman, mm-hmm. you know, leaders of the household, the men who are supposed to stand
Amen.
Up and protect their families. They're breaking those things down. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of a sudden, you know, they can have control over us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely out of the book of Karl Marx. I will just tell you, there is a Marxist historical aspect of that, breaking down the traditional roles of man and women. So, and it's just so bizarre and weirdo and crazy now that we just don't even understand it all. But very good point. Any other parting comments? We're down to 6 minutes and 58 seconds. It's almost happy anniversary time for you two.
I think that we have to examine the tactics that are being used, the intimidation. Someone used the terminology, and I just thought it was interesting, called it the alphabet mafia. And I've been told in certain cities from a news reporter that I know, that people are buying up certain land and, you know, really imposing the lifestyle, not proposing, but imposing. And I think there's a lot of intimidation that's going on. And so if you're adversarial and combative, you really can't have dialogue. You know, I don't know, Rich could maybe say about fighting, you know, if you're all wired up and angry, you know, I think it blurs your judgment. I teach that in debate, and I just think that there's a spirit behind this that's not the spirit of God. And I'm not saying it's not rational and that you can't reason, but there's a hysteria that's going on. If you ever look at some of the debates that go on college campuses and other places, there's a vitriol, a real hatred that has a demonic spirit behind it. And so, you know, God can change anyone's heart. We want to be loving and reasonable, as has always been the church's stance as far as an intellectual aspect. But it's going to take a lot more spiritual warfare, you know, than just trying to convince somebody that they've been deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can I just let me know when I can have, like, the very last closing thought, because I got something to say.
Okay, cool.
It may not, it doesn't have to go with any of this.
So, you know, I want to say something about, my friend just sent me this picture and it was just cool. So I'm going to try to say it and explain it. And basically it says, a wolf attacks the sheep. A sheep dies. Other sheep observe the killing and notice that teeth kill the sheep. So the sheep remove their own teeth for their own safety.
Sure.
You know, that's the mentality of taking guns away from the citizens. We will not only be sheep, we will be teethless sheep and with the inability to protect ourselves. So, yes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes and 59 seconds. Father Michael, go ahead.
Oh,
okay.
I'm getting, I'm getting excited now. I got to.
Yep.
I've got to tell this man right here, amongst all these, oh, I'm sure thousands of listeners out here, how much I just love him. And I want to thank you, Rob, for loving me for over 23 years. And thank you for supporting me. Thank you for being the head of our home. Thank you for loving God and putting him first. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for giving me our child, who is now a good, strong Christian man because of you and your leadership and you, the role model that you've been. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so thankful for you. And I will forever be thankful for you. You've been with me through some of the hardest times in my entire life. And you have been by my side, literally through sickness and health. And the happy times and sad times, you've been there. And I wouldn't want to be by anybody else. And I just thank you. And I love you with all my heart. And here's to another chapter in our lives now that we are empty nesters. And it's just me and you again, baby. But thank you. Thank you. And I look forward to the next 23 more years, technically. 23 to 4, 26, 27 more years, technically. I love you. I love you.
Congratulations. I had to wait 46 years to be an empty nester, so God bless you.
Yeah, God bless.
And I want to have
Father
a prayer.
Michael. Let us do it.
Heavenly Father, we know that these problems that we have discussed tonight are larger than we have the ability to do anything lasting about. But we pray for wisdom. We pray that we can be proactive. We can work together as a team. And Lord, that you'll help all those desperate people, even as Rich pointed out, those that are being bullied, those that are isolated, those that are lacking leadership in their homes. Help us, Lord, to be an alternative in your Christian community. I ask a blessing on James and Rich. And Katie and Rob, and I thank you, Lord, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you, folks. And as we come down to the last 37 seconds, before we all say happy anniversary to Katie and Rob, I just want to say to all you wonderful listeners out there, God bless you. Don't ever be ashamed to be American. Don't ever be ashamed to say you're a Christian. Stand up for your rights. Stop pulling out a cell phone to videotape somebody getting abused and start pulling out a right hook every now and then, folks, and you will see this country clean up quickly. So with 10 seconds left, we got 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy anniversary, guys.
And that is you no heard it, joke. Nobody's fooling you.
God bless you all. Look, you got your first happy anniversary from us. We love you guys. We love you guys.
We love you.
We really do. And I'm telling you, this show has really, really brightened a lot of hearts. 135,000 people. And so now we're off live, but it's continuing to record. So later on, when you go to listen to the show, you'll have to, the live portion's over. So the listeners will have to listen to this, but it's still recording now. But I just want to say that the discussions that we have, like Rich was saying, we're kind of in an echo chamber because we feel the same way. But I think that that's a good thing because it's really showing that we're all from different places and different times in life. And, you know, Americans are coming together. I mean, we're starting to hitch our wagons together, and that's a good thing. So
that's right.
God bless.
Pray for Rich and I. We're going out to the field tomorrow to visit the cadets. Rich is going to take my place when I have to go to a wedding, so I want to introduce him. But I'll be doing a service, bringing out palms. I'll probably hear confessions, bring communion. So please pray for us. It's raining, but, you know, as we say in the Army, it's not raining. We're not training. No snow. We don't go. So,
thanks. Yeah.
Thank you all for letting us be a part of this, and we just really appreciate and love you all too.
Yeah. Hey, Katie, you and Rob. So we've got us on the text chat. So Father Pacella was an Army chaplain, and I was telling you that, you know, Andrew had expressed some interest in the chaplaincy. So maybe I'm sure Father Michael would be happy to take a call from Andrew just to kind of.
Absolutely.
Say, hey, you know, what's the deal with that? How does that all work out?
We can make that happen. Which one is his text? Which one is his number?
Okay, let me
That's
see.
7-8-4-1-9-0-4.
Okay, all right. I got that.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I still have contact in there as well, but... yeah, it's a great ministry.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. It's
all
a good
right.
preparation. Yep.
But look, you all have a good
all
evening.
Right.
You too. God bless
it's
you.
It's 12:03. It's time for y'all to go celebrate your anniversary, folks. Have
That's
a good
it.
Day. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless
take
you.
Care.
Y'all take care.
Bye now.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.